When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. Android, recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel on Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. Get all the latest Miami Heat information without having to scroll through Twitter. $2.99 per month. You can find the link right here in the description on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel. Also, check out the great sponsors, Five Reasons Sports Network, includes our friends over at Prize Picks, legal again in the state of Florida. We know that some of the sports that you follow are winding down, but there are others still going on. You can still play MMA. There's tennis, there's golf, there's WNBA. There's lots of stuff to do on Prize Picks. So get your fix in. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. Again, the code is 5. F-I-V-E, football will be here soon enough. You want to be on there before then. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick, and follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. We got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I apologize if I'm a little distracted. I'm currently getting videos for my daughter's first day at Heat Camp, and I can tell you she's already got the Jason Tatum push-off perfected here. Not sure about what else has been perfected watching this, but Tony Fiorentino told me he was going to make a run today, so we'll see how that goes. I want to appreciate the folks at Heat Camp for taking good care of my daughter today. And again, check it out at heat.com, all the junior heat camps that they've got going on. Tony runs a tight ship, man. I was there this morning, and they let the parents stay and watch. I couldn't stay the whole time. I'll go more tomorrow. And I'm watching it. He got them lined up. It's like drill sergeant stuff. He's got them in the age groups. And then Tony's telling them they better make their bed, which thank you, because my daughter's not made her bed in about 8 months. And there's like a pile of laundry on top of her hamper that she blamed me for because she says I don't get to it soon enough. So she just throws the clean and the dirty stuff on top of it. It's not my job. So I want to appreciate Tony doing that for me, but we'll see how that goes at Heat Camp. Of course, our Sean Rochester is a proud graduate of Heat Camp as well. All right. Someone who won't be at Heat Camp speaking is, although, he's a nice guy and he comes back around these ways sometimes, Justice Winslow. We're going to talk about the 2015 draft. Make sure that you check out the previous episodes we've done, 2003 on the Dwayne Wade draft, 2008 on the Michael Beasley draft. Also, the guys on Playback have already done the Tyler Hero draft, which was 2019, and I believe they might do the Jaime Jaquez draft before we get started there, maybe even the BAM draft. But on this one, we're going to talk about the Justice Winslow draft, and I'll just tell you this, because again, there's a lot of, as we go to Greg and Alex on this, there's a lot of revisionist history going on here. Because at the time, Heat fans wanted Justice Winslow and did not think Justice Winslow was going to fall. And I can tell you that I was in Chicago for pre-draft camp and talked to a lot of players there. And I can tell you that a certain Heat executive texted me because he felt I was spending too much time and tweeting too much about Stanley Johnson and that this was going to give away the Heat's desires prior to the draft. Please stop tweeting so much about Stanley Johnson. I don't really take direction that way, but it was kind of funny. He was joking. But of course, Stanley Johnson was projected by most people to be the Heat's pick at 10 because Justice Winslow was projected by some to go in the top five. And I'll go through the draft here again. Karl Anthony Towns first, D'Angelo Russell second, Jahlil Okafor third, Kristaps Porzingis, new NBA champion, fourth, Mario Hezonja fifth, Willie Cauley-Stein sixth, Emmanuel Mudiay, I was wrong about him, I loved him at Summer League, seventh, Stanley Johnson eighth, Frank Kaminsky ninth, Justice Winslow 10th to Miami, Miles Turner to Indy, Trey Lyles to Utah, and of course Devin Booker 13th. By the way, Terry Rozier went 16th in that draft to Boston. But
and DeLon went right after Terry, I think, if I remember correctly.
He did. He went well, not right after, but he did go. Where was it?
I want to say 20th.
20th. Yeah, 20th. He went four picks later. And I remember being at a 790 the ticket draft party. I think at Gulfstream or something like that. And I remember people were actively hoping that Justice Winslow would fall.
The arena went crazy. I was at that draft party. The arena went nuts when the Heat drafted Justice, by the way.
And this was similar to Caron Butler slipping to 10 in 2002. And so I'll give you the scene and then I'll set you guys up on this. My understanding of what happened that night, okay, was that they got the phone call, okay, and it wasn't just them. Charlotte got it too. All right. Jordan right ahead of them got the call too. They ended up taking Kaminsky, which was worse. Okay. Got the phone call that there were all these picks that were going to be offered. And my understanding of this, okay, is that Pat turned to Adam Simon and said, "You always want picks. Do you want the picks or do you want the player?" They took the player. So this idea again that, you know, this was, you know, this crazy notion that you would want a guy like Justice Winslow who had just performed really well in the tournament and actually had hit a bunch of threes in the tournament, which was one of the things I think that attracted him to that, was that they seemed like they could develop that part of the game. And they did to a certain degree. He shot 38% the year before the year he left. He actually told me, I remember, Alex, you and I were together, but my audio didn't work. I think we were in Palm Beach, and Justice told me walking off the court that he was going to be a sniper that year. But unfortunately, he was sniped out of town before the year was over. But Greg, just going back to it, like, again, there's a lot of revisionist history here because I do not think people were pounding the table for Devin Booker with that pick.
I think some Heat fans had Devin Booker on the short list. I think the Heat had Devin Booker on the short list, but I just think that this felt like Caron Butler scenario 2.0, where like a guy fell that was just too good. You didn't expect him to be there. And so you kind of had to scrap what maybe was your plans and go with the guy that fell to you. And yeah, now with the benefit of hindsight, it's easy to be like, oh, well, they should have taken Devin Booker or Miles Turner or one of those other guys. I think Devin Booker is the one that creeps up on people the most. Maybe because of the Kentucky connection or some of the comments that have been made since the years after that. But on draft night, Heat fans felt like they had the best of two worlds and they basically got to choose which guy that was in Justice or if there was Devin Booker fans out there. But as the person who wrote Justice better for Miami Heat beat, I can tell you that we were super excited about Justice Winslow when he got here. And he kind of felt like he was going to be the guy that Dwayne passed the torch to some degree. Really early on in his rookie season, it seemed like he was being taken under that wing. And so it aligned initially and then just obviously fell off the rails as we went. But I don't think anyone can look back on draft night in 2015 and say that they were upset that the Heat took Justice Winslow when they did, no matter what it looks like today.
Go to Alex in a second, but you mentioned the Dwayne Justice connection. I remember being in the interview room and they did a photo shoot together for Sports Illustrated, a cover shoot, the two of them. There definitely was a push to make him the next big thing, and he wanted it. I mean, he talked about being the next face of the franchise to the point of the 2019 season after they'd gotten Jimmy Butler. And if you remember, Justice had 27-7-7 in the season opener. Jimmy missed the first three games due to personal issues with the Heat. He didn't actually debut until the fourth game. And like Justice was acting like it was his team. And then, of course, he was traded prior to COVID, in that big deal that ended up netting Iguodala, Crowder, and Solomon Hill. But Alex, I guess the reason people were excited about it was, first thing, he did look good his rookie year. I mean, whereas a lot of these rookies, if you look at this draft, okay, this did not turn out to be a great draft. Okay, you've got Cat, D'Angelo Russell, who has really, I mean, he's had moments, but he hasn't as a winner lived up to the number two pick in the draft. He's been traded a couple times. Okafor really didn't pan out. He was kind of, you know, back to the basket player at a time where it's slow. That didn't really play out in the pros. Porzingis, yes, obviously. Hezonja ended up going back overseas. Cauley Stein's been a role player. Moutier, kind of a bust. Stanley Johnson, kind of a bust, has bounced around. Kaminsky, definitely a bust. I mean, if you look at the, it's amazing too, because if you look at these guys, like the games played, like, okay, you've got Kat, you've got Russell and Porzingis, who hasn't even been that durable. And then a lot of these guys, Terry Rozier has played more games. Here's a stat for you. Terry Rozier has played the most games in his NBA career of any of the top 21 picks in that draft. Which will tell you something. Like, a lot of these guys either became role players. There's a couple of stars, Towns and Booker, right? So, I mean, it's not like the Heat made a horrible pick. It's just who they didn't pick.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to. And that's why it always gets brought up alongside, you know, Precious a couple of years ago. It's like, you know, the mistakes, I feel like, are given more of, you know, the expose than the good picks, right? Because it's like, you know, you could have had Devin Booker, who was in the finals a couple of years ago, was the best player on that team. I mean, you can make a case so is Chris Paul, I guess, since they got so successful after they acquired him. But regardless, you know, was the main player of a finals team. Don't think any of us thought he was going to be that good, right? He seemed like he was going to be like a good shooter in the league, somebody who could score. But I don't think a lot of people had him becoming, you know, one of the best scorers in the league, a top 20 or so type of player, and somebody who could be the best player on a finals team. So, I mean, even with the way things have played out since, where it's been a lot of disappointment in Phoenix, especially since, you know, they're a couple of big threes that they've trotted out, you know, it's a lot, right? Like, because you went from Justice, who was a productive player for you, was a helpful player for a playoff team right away, and then had this weird arc where, like, they moved him into being a point guard, which is, you know, what we all thought should have happened because of the skill set that he had, where he was better on the ball than off the ball, you know, became somewhat of a better shooter, was a fantastic defender from the start. And frankly, just to me, like, something I felt at the time as well was that his lack of finishing was a bigger problem than the three-point shooting, because I felt like, you know, he could make a standstill wide open three. But, like, there was times, like, he would have the ball, he could make a play with it, create for others. But when he got to the rim himself, that, to me, was the biggest issue with Justice. And so Justice still better, right? We're always going to keep that going. But, yeah, it hurts because it's like the guy is now in the G League and Devin Booker is a top 20 player. So it's just hard to overlook these things. But, man, that, like, when you reminded me of that first game, it was like you just brought me back. It felt like an alternate timeline or something, where Justice is going crazy. Jimmy hasn't even played a minute for the Heat yet, and he's still the starting point guard. Like, it doesn't feel like Justice was a part of, you know, the Jimmy era.
Right.
Like, it feels like distant. And it's like, and at the, you know, at the end of the day, since I haven't thrown one in here, he ended up getting you three rotation players, two of which were hugely important for you in the playoffs. Because he was the main, like, thing that the other team was getting. Was it the Grizzlies? Yeah. That the Grizzlies were getting back was Justice Winslow, because nobody, they weren't making that trade for an older James Johnson or Deion Waiters.
No.
So, you know, it could have been worse, right? Like, I don't think it's as bad as the Precious pick if we're comparing there, because I think Justice was actually a pretty good player. But, yeah, just looking back on it now with all the hindsight, it's unfortunate.
Well, I think you look at the arc with him in Miami, too, is he made this weird transition from being seen as a total Heat culture guy to then not. Like, the rookie season, like, the whole narrative around him was he plays great defense, and, you know, you can plug him in anywhere, and, you know, he fills all the holes on the court for you. Okay, even if he lacks some finish, lacks some finishing, lacks some shooting, and then ended up getting stuck at center literally in the last game against Toronto. But as the career went on, there became these issues behind the scenes about health. And, you know, what I had heard that year was that, you know, Justice basically thought his injury was worse than the Heat did. And that, you know, he went and saw a couple specialists. He didn't really believe what the specialists told him, and that essentially the relationship became fractured beyond repair. It's interesting in the context of the availability conversation that has happened over the past few months, that at that time, I guess the Heat had a stricter attitude about it, which I think they're going to start to get back to. But it just seemed to people, I think, inside the organization, he didn't want to play. And that it was a little Ben Simmons-like. I don't know if it ever got that bad, but that is how it was sort of portrayed, especially after the trade that they made with him. And you know, the thing is, the reality is the Jimmy Justice thing never would have worked, Greg. I mean, because you just didn't have enough shooting on the floor. Like we could talk. I mean, really, Jimmy did everything Justice did better. I hate to use that word, guys, better, but he just did. He was just a better version of Winslow in all those situations. And so it's like, okay, you really didn't need another like that. And so I think his time just kind of passed. Again, we could talk about Booker, but let's close the book on Winslow here. I mean, do you think there's any way it could have worked here?
I think as a rotational wing defender in the Jimmy era, like there's a place for him and
bring him off the bench.
Yeah, off the bench. There we go. But it just to your point, I think that there was also, you have to remember that to get off Deion Waiters and James Johnson's contracts, like that was a big deal as well. So that had a little bit to do with this. And I don't know that Justice necessarily in the Jimmy era was really given a chance to work out like that. It feels like things were fractured by that time and kind of they started to drift apart as the season went on. And then obviously the trade happened. So I would say that they could have worked something out, but never at the scale that I think Justice had envisioned himself coming in and being for Miami. And that's where the disconnect I think took place, is that you had a guy who at one moment was talking about, I want to be the face of the franchise, to now being kind of an afterthought off the bench. That just wasn't the trajectory I think he nor the organization was expecting.
Does it remind a little bit, although Tyler has obviously developed into a more of a prominent player for the Heat than Justice did, but a little bit about a guy sort of feeling that his role and capability is maybe a little different than might be the ideal? Because it does remind me somewhat of that. Like the Justice feeling face of the franchise. He wasn't a face of the franchise type player. He was a really good role guy. You know, Tyler has confidently put himself in the class of Luka and others, when really what the Heat need from that spot is a really good catch and shoot guy. There are some similarities here. I think, you know, again, Tyler, as we discussed, and we did this on playback, there's no way you can argue that was a bad pick. You just can't. He should have, in a redraft, he shouldn't have gone 13. He should have gone really no later than sixth. But with Justice, you can make arguments, even though it didn't turn out to be a great draft. But I think there are some similarities in those two things. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Devin Booker here and kind of what everybody missed. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Don't miss out. If you have a leak in your place, your home or business, reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida immediately. They'll do the leak detection. And if something happens, they'll do the damage assessment as well. Clean it up for you completely. Work with your insurance company and all of that. But check them out at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. Michael Robert and his team, more than 75 star reviews on Google. Again, check it out at Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the weight it handles. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so Greg, what did everybody miss on Devin Booker? Because if you look at the numbers here, I'm looking at total points from that draft. He's first, 14,529, career splits of 46, 36, and 87. Some of their metrics, he's kind of like the second or third most productive player. Towns is actually first. He's in there with Porzingis. By the way, Terry Rozier is a top 10 productive player from that draft. In fact, you know who else is a top 10 productive player from that draft, according to a lot of the metrics? Josh Richardson, who actually the Heat got at 40. And we should mention him because, you know, he made a big difference for them. He was basically their seventh man. They sent him back and forth to Sioux Falls that year and to work on pick and roll stuff and everything else. But he had a month where he was absolutely on fire from three. He shot like 55% from three. He could not miss. And of course, he's been brought back, and he's one of the more popular players in the organization. We expect him to be back next year, too, most likely, on that player option. So they did better in that draft than most teams, just the fact that they cashed in on a 40th pick, although everybody's focused on the 10th pick. But, Greg, what did everybody miss? It wasn't just them. I say this about Maxey, too. It wasn't just them. I mean, A lot of teams could have had, but Devin Booker, he was picked 13th.
Seems like the playmaking was a big part of it. Like that was a part of his game that he's developed as time has went on. And then just the absolute volume scoring. I mean, you knew he was a good shooter and a good scorer, but a 70 point guy, that's reaching another realm. So I think that I think his ceiling was judged incorrectly. And then just the other parts of his game. I think he's a more complete player than maybe he was given credit for on draft night.
Alex, what did everybody miss?
For sure. I think Leif pretty much nailed it there. Like he could just straight up do more than any of us pretty much thought that he could. You know, somebody that can be one of the best scorers in the league, do it in a variety of ways, whether on or off ball, because he's not just like somebody who needs to have the ball in his hands to score. And I think that's why there was some like appeal and like, okay, maybe the Suns can figure out this whole all offense thing because they've got a nice trio of guys who can play on or off ball with KD, Beal, and Booker. All three of those guys can play on or off the ball. So I think, you know, Booker just getting to that level, I didn't see that coming. The other thing that, unless I'm wrong here, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he came off the bench that season for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. That was the year. That was the team that was like undefeated or whatever, if I remember correctly, that they had the Harrison twins starting. Cat was in the starting lineup. Trey Lyles,
Cauley Stein as well, and Mile and Trey Lyles. They had they basically had like five guys drafted, I think, because one of the Harrisons was drafted in the second round. You're right, and that was part of it. I mean, Tyler, look, there was a little of that with Tyler, too. Tyler really didn't come on until the second half of his freshman season, and then he went. But, yeah, I think that was part of it. I think he was viewed just as a shooter. I really think that's the case. Right. I don't think the playmaking skills and all that. It's funny because a lot of the same things that were said about Tyler were said about Booker. And then, of course, people are going to throw this back in my face because I tweeted this, but it's what someone in the organization said. Tyler was told in his rookie season, don't look at being Devin Booker, look at being better than him. And of course, that has not happened, although Tyler has had moments. But again, it does show you how, you know, projections can be wrong, that guys can develop other skills. And he did develop these other skills with Phoenix. Who knows what would have happened with Miami? I tend to believe if it happened with Phoenix, it would have happened with Miami. If you look at what they would have had at the time, you know, again, this was sort of a rebuild for the Heat. You know, the Bosch situation was up in the air. They still had Dwayne, too. And, you know, because this was the 2015 draft. And I wondered, like, how would that have looked? Like, people don't really talk about that. But I guess you're going to play Booker at the three. I try to get away from the position stuff. But, you know, that was something. With Justice, it was kind of like, okay, Justice was kind of positionless. Like, wasn't a great shooter. The point guard thing was really something Miami Heat beat invented. And especially Nekias, right? And then it kind of became more of a Heat thing and a Heat fan thing after that. But with Devin, there was that question, I think. And, you know, Dwayne was getting older. And I know people are going to say, well, this was the natural heir to Dwayne and all that. I don't think that anybody was viewing it that way at the time. I just think there's a frustration because the Heat have gone to Kentucky. And here's one opportunity. They could have gone to Kentucky and got a star. And then there was another one that came up a few years later. And they didn't get either of them. And we're still debating now whether or not the Kentucky guard they have can be that guy. So anyway, Greg, I'll let you close the loop on this. We appreciate our sponsors, Water Cleanup. Tons of draft coverage coming up this week. By the way, I do want to mention we will have a playback Wednesday during the draft. Go to Playback, download the app. Playback, it's free. Playback.tv/5RSN. You can watch the draft along with us. I'm going to be in New York. Alex and Brady will be here in Miami. Greg will be hosting podcasts. We've got Ben Tovia. And our photographer, Kevin Rodriguez, are going to be out at the draft party at Dolphin Mall. So we have everything covered. We got a big team of people that are going to be doing this. Greg, I'll let you close the loop on this.
Listen, if the Justice pick could feel so right at the time, and now you see what happens, it shows you that these drafts are unpredictable as hell. And no matter who they draft, you should keep an open mind because you don't know which way these things are going to go. From one year to the next, guys' trajectory completely changes. So I think that it is instructive to see the Winslow draft as one that Heat fans were cheering about on draft night and now look back on with a little more disdain because they think, what if? You may get similar scenarios, and sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, but the Heat tend to be more right than wrong, it appears, with these drafts lately.
The other thing, by the way, before we wrap this up, that's kind of like relevant to what we're talking about here, Ethan, you mentioned the Kentucky guards and the ones that the Heat didn't take, right? And now, like, you have a guy this week who, in Rob Dillingham, who is falling, right? And could potentially be in the Heat's range when they're on the clock there and could be available. And, you know, he's a lot smaller than Tyrese Maxey. So I don't know if this is a lot smaller than Devin Booker and just a lot smaller than pretty much anybody in the league when you look at weight. But yeah, like, that's kind of relevant here. Like, as we do this episode, is they might have another opportunity with a Kentucky guard like that. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see if they pass up on this one.
We'll see. We did a playback on him as well. I'm smiling here because my daughter gave her review of her first day of Heat camp. So here, maybe she'll be drafted. Amazing. I love basketball. Hearts, exclamation points. I had so much fun. I also learned how to shoot correctly. See, that's more than Justice Winslow was able to do with the Heat a few years. All right, have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5RSN Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.